Really enjoying our series through the book of Ecclesiastes. This morning, Chris did an excellent lesson from Ecclesiastes in chapter 4. This evening, we're going to be following up on that lesson with Ecclesiastes chapter 5. When studying this passage of Scripture, I couldn't help but think that God provides. Take it from me, the voice of experience, that being Solomon the preacher, that God provides. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, guard your steps when you go to the house of God, to draw near to God. To listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few, for a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hand? For when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity, but God is the one you must fear. God deserves to be feared. If we study from the Word of God as we can and as we have, we can see that God deserves to be feared because God deserves to be respected. When we see a fear for God, that doesn't mean that we come into the church building cowering down, ready to be hit by lightning. We have a healthy respect for God. When we say we are going to serve Him, we should. The beauty of the Bible is that God has provided us an opportunity to see His personality. We see that God is knowable. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. We have a God that we can know. We have a God who that we can know what pleases Him and what makes Him sad. We have a God that we can dig through Scriptures and find His attributes. We have a God that is approachable. In the 145th Psalm in verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. I guess I could say I've always struggled with keeping a healthy prayer life. It's a real struggle to have. And I remember telling a friend about 6-7 years ago, it feels like when I pray that it's not leaving past the ceiling. And he said, imagine it this way. You're praying to our Almighty Creator, and He's next to you cheek to cheek. He wants to hear from you desperately. We have an Almighty Father who is approachable, who's not only approachable, but He desires for us to speak with Him. Pertaining to His personality, how great is this? We have a God that is forgiving. In Romans chapter 3, verses 22 through 25, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance, He had passed over former sins. We have a God that when we fall down, He desires for us to get back up. Part of God's personality is He has done everything short of taking away our free will to provide for us an opportunity to spend in heaven with Him. Our God is a forgiving God. We can know our God is a forgiving God because we can get to know the Father through His inspired Word. We have an honest God. And this is the kicker. We have an honest God. When God says something is going to happen, it happens. Our God is a God that keeps His promises. If God has promised something and it hasn't happened, it's because it hasn't happened yet. In the 119th Psalm, verse 105, and in 1 John 1, 7, I love how these verses go together so smoothly to show the honesty of God. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have been given the pattern. We have been given the lifestyle. We have been given the keys to proper worship. We've been given the plan of salvation. If we follow those things as God has requested, we can know that we can be right with God. Our God is an honest God. We look at Deuteronomy 10, verse 20. We'll go back to understanding all of these things from God's personality should lead us to a very healthy respect or fear. As Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 20 states, "You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve Him and hold fast to Him, and by His name you shall swear." And in Luke chapter 4 and verse 8, Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." Serving someone or something else in place of God guarantees a destruction on the day of judgment. I don't say that to be mean. I don't say that to be nasty. I say that to share the truth. There is one God. There is one way to heaven. And it's through this God that we should fear. And that fear is a healthy respect. Through God's personality, we can see the attributes He has to His personality. And the love that He shows for us should lead us to that healthy respect. God provides perspective. God provides perspective. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 8 through 9, "If you see in a province the oppression of the poor and the violation of justice and righteousness, do not be amazed at the matter. For the high official is watched by higher, and there are yet higher ones over them. But this is gain for land in every way, a king committed to cultivated fields." God gives us perspective in that we can see how humans act. I say that to tell a story. Once a boy was up on a mountain peak, standing in the snow, holding his collar up against the wind, and he happened upon a cobra. The boy looked at the serpent as it shivered. "Little boy, I am freezing. Please take me down the mountain where it is warm." And the boy answered, "No, you're a poisonous snake, and you will bite me if I try to pick you up. Even if you don't, then you will surely bite me when you're warm." The snake answered back, "No, if you spare my life, I will not bite you. You have my promise." And the boy considered this all for a moment, then carefully he picked the adder up and placed it in his satchel and began his hike down the slope. Soon he was home, and he took the snake and placed him near the fire. Before long, the snake began to warm and move around. The boy, seeing how beautiful it was, began to stroke its scaly skin. Then the snake bit him. Incredulous, the boy looked at his swelling arm and cried out, "But you promised not to bite me. Now I will die. Why did you bite me?" To which the serpent answered, "You knew what I was when you picked me up. You knew what I was when you picked me up." People are going to let you down. If no one has ever let you down before,
I want to know what bubble you're living in.
People forget who they serve. People outside of the Lord's church will do things for gain. And how much more does it hurt when people in the Lord's church forget the Master and His teachings? When we understand that people are people, sometimes people make mistakes, let's hope they repent of those mistakes. Let's hope that they get right before it's eternally too late. When we understand that we can be harmed, we won't all of a sudden act like the sky is falling on us whenever someone does disappoint us. People are going to try to get gain, and someone in our area who thinks they're the top boss, there's a top boss above them. And there's a top boss above that person. And there's a top boss above that person. And we could do this for a while, but for the sake of time, I won't. But ultimately, on top of that, is God, the Almighty Judge. Let's strive, while we may get hurt, to do the best we can in reaching out to the lost, in working with brethren, because we've all let someone down and had someone hurt us. It's only human. I say it's only human as in we're all sinners and we all fall short. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. When I first read that, I was like, oh, this verse steps on my toes. Because I imagined a fat guy ate too much, couldn't get any sleep, had acid reflux or something. But that is not what this verse means. So I didn't stomp on my toes anymore. I tried to find something that could show what Solomon was meaning at this time period. And I found a passage from Horace in the Satires. But what are your indulgences all day, all night, to watch and shudder with dismay? Let ruffians fire your house, or slaves by stealth rifle your coffers and abstract your wealth. If this be affluence, this, her boasted fruit of all such joys, may I live destitute. There was a show on MTV that just talked about the overspending that celebrities do. It's a show called Cribs, MTV Cribs. And you'd get to see these gigantic palatial mansions 2 or 3 years before they go bankrupt, the individual. And one of these cribs, the guy showed his gigantic television. And on top of his television were screens, different smaller television screens that had cameras that were looking all over his property. And he said, you know, I stay awake at night so I can watch TV and watch these different screens. And then I sleep during the day. How miserable is that? That he owns something that is so coveted by others that he will stay awake at night to make sure that it's not broken into. You know, we can look at even people in our own community that put the focus on their work, that put a focus on their jobs and things of that nature. And I've got to have this income. I've got to make this amount of money so that way I can keep all of these different things that I'm paying bills for. And I need to do whatever I can to keep this level of money coming into my house, even if that means putting God on the back burner. That's a miserable life to live. My wife is brilliant, and I'm going to turn her bright red. My wife is brilliant. She's a CPA, if you didn't know that. No, she won't do your taxes. Gets into some other stuff in there where we'd have to buy insurance. We wouldn't make ends meet, but she's a real sweet girl.
Real sweet gal, I tell you. Real sweet gal. My wife could go and make $120,000 a year in Dallas. And, you know, we could be living in the lap of luxury. I could be one of those cool stay-at-home dads and play video games and say I'm watching the kids. Like, Lisa, the baby's crying. She's like, how many bottles are by the sink? 3. You haven't fed the baby today. That's a true story. That really happened. Called Lisa, the baby's crying. Well, have you tried this? Have you tried that? Have you tried this? Oh, yeah, I've done it all. How many bottles? 3. You haven't fed the baby all day. It's noon. Time to feed the baby. Got it. Great daddy, terrible mama. Our life is about perspective. God provides this perspective to us that we see that those who chase money, those who chase objects, those who chase wealth, those who chase a name for themselves will be miserable. We've got to be content with what we have. In Ecclesiastes 5:18-20, behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. You know, Donnie's my buddy. I like Donnie. The more I get to know Donnie, the cooler Donnie is. And there were a couple of weeks ago that Chris was like, let's go visit Donnie. And we were out doing visitations. I'm like, that sounds fun. Let's go visit Donnie. So Donnie comes to the door after we called his phone 4 or 5 times and banged on the front door and the side door. And he finally came out. He's like, the preachers aren't giving up today. So he said, hey guys, I want to show you something I'm working on. And I see this barn off to the side. And I was like, he likes cars, okay. So he opens up this barn and this truck is in here. And he starts telling us everything he's doing to this truck. And he shows us where he's cut off rusted parts of the truck and welded good parts back on. And he's telling us all the different things he's wanting to do with it. And let me tell you, I got excited. I start asking Donnie, hey, like, how much does a truck cost? I'd like to buy a truck. Maybe I could work on it and we could work on it together. And my dad, I told my dad, I'm like, yeah, yeah, cool guy. Where I'm attending has a truck. I think I want to start learning that. He goes, son, we could take everything you know about vehicles and put it in a thimble and it would sound like a BB in a boxcar. I don't know anything about cars. I can change a tire. And I can turn a car on, and let me tell you, I can work the radio. I don't know anything about cars. If it was my job to make my livelihood of fixing cars, I assume I would get better at it, but my aptitude would be very low. One of the problems we see in our public schools today is they treat every student like they are going to go to college, like they are going to graduate, and everyone is going to be rocket scientists. And that the only reason that a kid isn't a rocket scientist is because the teacher didn't do a good enough job and the teacher needs to get fired. Don't ask Caden what he thinks of his teacher. And he used to be homeschooled, so going to get backhanded there. Great, I've made my wife blush and now Chris's wife blush. Who wants to take me home? Cindy's like, nope. Not going to do it. If that was the only thing that I could do was to fix cars, if some of our kids, the only thing that they can do is hard work with their hands, God bless them for it. But you know what? Those that do those type of things, they can be happy in going to bed at night knowing they put in a hard day's work and they're not worried about somebody breaking into their palatial estate. When we work to our abilities, when we do things that some may look down upon, which is silly because everybody plays a role, you know, we don't have peace. You know, Paul called for peace. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, but if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, now that I'm speaking, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation, I'm to be content. Now, where was Paul staying when he wrote both of these letters? Was in one of those oases, right? Where, you know, he's laying there by the pool, and they got one of those huge elephant ear banana leaves, and people are fanning him, right? Is that where Paul was? No, Paul was in prison. Because Paul knew something that we need to wrap our minds around. He knew that something laid ahead for him. He knew that a heaven that is so amazing laid ahead for him. I often wonder how much joy we take out of our Christian lives by putting money and toys and different things ahead of serving God to the best of our abilities. God provides us peace. The only time that we mess that up is when we get in the way. Do the best you can, but don't let that interfere with your relationship with God. Let's find peace. So what does God provide in Ecclesiastes chapter 5? God provides His personality. God is to be feared. We can look through the pages of Scripture and see the different attributes that God has. We can see we have a God that loves us, but a God that demands obedience and respect. God provides perspective. We don't have to walk through life naive and being shocked and awed when people act like people. Solomon makes it clear. He's the voice of experience. People can be rotten, but ultimately, everyone is under God. God provides peace. We don't have to chase the almighty dollar. Find something that makes you happy. Find something that allows you to serve God to the best of your ability. And pillow your head at night, knowing that if the Lord returns, you're in good shape. And if you wake up the next morning, you got a great day ahead and opportunities to serve the Father. This evening, if you're not a Christian, I encourage you to become one. If you've heard and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're ready to repent of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and being immersed into the watery grave of baptism, I encourage you to take on Christ in baptism to have your sins washed away and to walk in a newness of life. But if you're a Christian and your view of God is skewed, if you're having trouble getting over someone hurting you, there's no shame in that. We know how people can be, and sometimes it hurts us deeply. If you need help with that, let us know. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you and do whatever we can to get you back on your spiritual feet. But if you just don't have peace, find what it takes to get that peace, to be able to pillow your head knowing that you're living a life pleasing to God. God provides. I love that. If you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.